We've been talking about who we are in Christ, and that when we are in Christ, we have certain good works to do. And now part of that is the good works of prayer. We're going to do a little bit of review. But before we start all that, if you could bow your head with me, and let's come before our Father. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have not given us a spirit of fear or a slavery to fear, but God, we are free in You because of Your grace. And that was established for us by Your death on the cross. You put Your words into action. And God, You interceded for us that we, the unrighteous, could be with the righteous. And You brought us to the Heavenly Father, that we could sit in His arms, that we could gaze into His eyes one day in heaven. God, that we can come to Him for all of our needs. And so today, we just cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, we love You. Father, we want to hear Your voice. We want to experience You and know You deeper through Your Word, through Your very touch. So come, Father, today, and speak to us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Okay, and I think my PowerPoint thing, Frida, is at the very bottom. And then you got it up there? All right. So today, we're going to be talking about in Christ, you are a prayer warrior and intercessor. Okay? Before we do that, we're going to do a little bit of review. So, Frida, we can hit the next slide. God has just not come to save you. He has come to save you so He can sanctify you. Okay? And that's to make you more holy, to make you like Christ. And in that, He gives you a new identity and a new life. Okay? And He wants you to live that out. But the thing to remember is that is not of you. That is all of Christ in what He is doing in your life. We've talked about 2 Corinthians 5:17 before that says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So we talk about being in Christ. And this is what you have to understand God is saying about you. That in Christ you say, I am a new creation. That in Christ you say, I'm a child of God. In Christ, to your neighbor right now, can you say, you are accepted? Look at your neighbor and say, you are accepted in Christ. Amen. Okay, in Christ, you've been justified. And with that, it's been that you've been bought at a price, and you belong to God. Some of you don't like that. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. And He wants to work in your life. Also that you are adopted, you are redeemed and forgiven, and that you are secure and safe in Christ. But again, all of this is good, but He's given this salvation to you and this sanctification for more than just kind of sitting in Him and having a nice, joyful, merry life. Okay? He's created you so that you, that's the Q word for changing, that you are a good work. And this is what the scripture Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for it's by grace you've been saved, praise God, through faith, and this is not from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And this part about the workmanship is just saying you are God's work. Okay? And He's given you good works to do. Now, what are some of those good works that we've been talking about in the past? Give you some hints. One, you are salt and light. Okay? That means to be a witness to the people around you. Two, you're a disciple maker. Okay? We just don't give people fish. We teach them how to fish, how to live their life, okay? Not so that they can feed themselves and then feed others. Also, number three, that one of your good works is to be a slave, to be a bond slave, to be a servant to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's coming under full submission to Him. And in that, we use the big word called lordship, that He is our Lord in every area. Brothers and sisters, that is one of the most important areas in your walk with Christ. If you're not there, pray for it. Seek after it. Asking Him to be your Lord. And the next work that we talked about was being a soldier. Many of you are like, I'm not a soldier. In Christ's kingdom, you are. There's a real battle out there with a real evil one waiting to destroy you, your family, your hope. And you need to fight back to battle. And today, we're going to talk about being a prayer warrior, intercessor. We talked a little bit about this last week. So, brothers and sisters, are you living in Christ? And with that, are you living for Christ? Put the first one first, second one second. Out of Christ, you live for Christ. Now, this is the third time I mentioned this guy's name, Epaphras. Okay? One of you guys are going to name your kid Epaphras or your dog after I mention it three times. Epaphras, who was he? He was a prayer warrior. This is what Paul calls him in Colossians 4:12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, he's got the in Christ stuff down, doesn't he? He's got the working out of Christ down. He sends you greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. And we talked about this word, laboring earnestly. The same word that Paul uses to tell Timothy to fight the good fight. He says of himself, Paul says, I've fought the good fight. In Greek, that's the same word. So basically what we're saying here is to fight, to contest, to compete, to struggle. And what is he, or we'll just start with, who is he struggling for? It says, for you, those Christians. But basically we can just say others. He is fighting for others. How does he fight? What is his weapon? You can go ahead and respond if you know the answer. Prayer. Prayer. Now, a lot of you guys are putting energy into other things. Gaming, that's great. A lot of energy goes into it. Meeting with your friends, that's great. A lot of energy goes into it. But a lot of you are not even thinking or coming close to being a warrior for Jesus and putting time and effort, energy into praying. And we talked about that last time because a lot of times prayer becomes this kind of, prayer is not that. Prayer is fighting and warring in the spiritual realm. That's one aspect of it. It's not falling asleep. So you can move when you pray. When we talk about Epaphras, in one word comes to me, he is an intercessor. He intercedes or intervenes. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is intervening. Question. What would God do but doesn't do until people pray? What would God do but doesn't do until people ask? What would God do but doesn't do until people intercede? Have you ever thought that God may not choose to do something or would do it differently because one person or many people would choose to come to their Father and beg Him and ask Him for something different? This is our God. He is not someone that's turned the clock and set things in motion and said, you, I'll go ahead and enjoy the watching the program with me. He is a Father that is intimate and powerful and wants us to come to Him and ask Him, to cry out to Him, to sit with him and talk, that he would make things different. That your prayers of faith that could move mountains, that could change the world. We'll look at one of these examples in Genesis 18:20-32. Hope you brought your Bible. Let's turn there. Genesis 18:32, because if you try to look at it on the screen, your eyes may bug out because that's awful small. Okay? We're going to start in verse 20 down there. Genesis 18, verse 20. And this is right after an interesting visit from three visitors who are definitely seen as from God, of God, and even as angels. And he goes in to say this. When he goes to look at a city that is pretty decadent, that is pretty immoral, of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, "Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it?" Now, I'd just like to mention a little bit here. I'm sure Abraham did not go into monotone voice when he's talking to the Lord. Verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous from the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike." This is not what Abraham would be doing. Okay? I'm sure the man has a little bit of passion, emotion, a little bit of body language when he's talking to the Lord. "Far be it from you. Will you not judge of all the earth to do right?" Verse 26, the Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke again, "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again, he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Should Abraham go on? Then he said, Abraham said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found?" The answer, God answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I've been so bold to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Then the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, and he left, and Abraham returned home. Now when we look at this, there's many things we could look at. We could look at Abraham's attitude. His attitude that, you know, in verse 27, "And now that I've been so bold to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes." He really understands his place of humbleness. He understands who he is, and he has the right attitude. We could talk about his boldness. "If I could be so bold, Lord, to come before your mightiness." His boldness, and that he didn't just stop at 50, he went to 45. And then he decided not to go by fives anymore. He said, "I'm going big, I'm going for tens." Went from 45 to 30 to 20 to 10. as boldness. We could look at His perseverance, which is great in prayer. That He would continue to go on. If it was me, in all of my fears, in all of my littleness, more than likely 45 would have been it. I made it when I went to 40, and I'm like, okay, I'm done, man. I'm stopping. I'm a little tired of, praying and talking to the Lord. We could look at all those things. But the one thing I want us to look at is a little bit of discrepancy we have in the Word of God in verse 22. Because it's pretty amazing when we begin to look at this. Verse 22. Then the men turned away and went toward Sodom. It's those three visitors I talked about. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord. He said, I will stand here before the Lord and intercede. Now that's really cool. That's amazing. But in other texts, you know what they have? It says that the Lord remained standing before Abraham. That the Lord said, I will stand before you and wait to see what you will do. How will you respond? That the Creator of all the universe, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would come and stand before us, sinful man, and say, what would you like to ask me? What would you like to pray and ask of your Father? I am here. That then we can come and we can ask and we can beg and cry out, and we don't see God saying, oh, you puny little whatever, beep, get out of here. He stands and waits. And then it says at the end, and then when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, left. That you and I, are we coming to pray and beg for the Creator of the universe to save our parents, to save our family, to intercede for our friends who are heading down the wrong path, those who have been hurt or wounded in relationship, those who struggle with lies, those who are in strongholds? And if God would have found just 10 righteous people because of Abraham, He would have saved the city. And He got the 10, and it makes you kind of wonder, maybe He should have went for 5. Maybe He should have went for 1. And it makes us wonder, should we have not prayed more, interceded more, gone a little bit deeper, drawn a little bit closer to our God? That when we are among the people of our work or our school and the Lord nudges us to go and pray for them or to share with them, that we would obey. That in the middle of the night when we are tired, and it's during the winter, and it's cold outside those blankets, but the Lord comes and says, get up and pray, that we would obey. Abraham interceded. What would God do, but doesn't do, until we pray and intercede? There's examples throughout the Bible of this. There's one where Moses is with the people after they come out of slavery to Egypt. And he's up on the mountain. And the people decide, hey man, where'd Moses go? We can't wait forever. Is God going to do something? We're hungry. Let's make a golden calf and bow down and worship it. And God says, man, those people have made me angry. I'm going to destroy them. Oh man, what happened to our nice, teddy bear God? That's not God. God said, I'll destroy him. And Moses says, and I don't know, if I was Moses, I'd be like, yeah, get him. Moses has compassion and mercy. And this is what Moses sought the favor of the Lord our God. Oh Lord, he says, turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Then the Lord relented. It did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Now I know some of you, this is messing up your theology. Because God says, I'm angry, boom, I'm going to nail him. Abraham says, please, have mercy. And God says, okay, I won't nail him. One person praying, interceding. What does God do? What would God do but does not do until people pray? Now the word intervene or intercede is a word that in Hebrew is to meet. To cause people to meet. And the way that we do that is very similar to what we do. Hey Malon, come on over here. I want you to meet someone. Okay? This is Michelle. Please meet Michelle. We do it all the time. Well, I hope you do it. We cause people to meet with one another. And this is what God wants you to do in prayer. To cause the Almighty Heavenly God to meet with a person or a circumstances that needs God. Man, I know somebody who has cancer and there is a cure. I want them to meet with that cure so they can be saved. I know a family that's really struggling raising their kids and there's a book that really helped me. I want that family to have this book that they can raise their kids. In prayer, we are asking our Heavenly Father to come and meet with the events and circumstances and the people of the world. In Ezekiel 22:30, it says this, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge to stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God is in the business of looking for people who will intercede, who will stand in the gap. I know we don't stand on furniture at church. Don't do this. Don't do it at home. But today, we're going to do it. To stand in the gap. Oh, this is great. Comfy TV, remote control, I got my Jesus, I'm in my church, everything's good, I read my Bible. Oh, it's safe, it's good. I love it. Look at that poor guy. He's got some problems, serious problems. He needs some help. Actually, I found help one day. Man, maybe I should go help him. I don't know, looks kind of dangerous. Could be difficult. Wouldn't be easy. But this is what we need to do, to stand in the gap. When I go hiking, a lot of times we'll be in mountainous areas. My wife thinks it's dangerous. I think it's cool. I'm a man. Danger is good. And I have to help my family from one little area to the next. And I stand in the gap like this to make sure they get all the way over and then push them further. Each one of them to come to that place of safety. This is what God is calling us. He is looking for people to stand in the gap, to intercede. What a wonderful picture. This is what one of God's works for you who are work of God is calling you to. Jesus, the most amazing intercessor there ever was, he was God. It says of this in Isaiah 59:15-16, truth is nowhere to be found. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice in the land. If you can picture this, He's looking for some justice, for some hope, for some goodness. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. He's looking. He's desiring to have someone to intercede, to stand in that gap. But He finds no one. So then He says His own arm worked salvation for Him. And His own righteousness sustained Him. How did He do that? Through Jesus. It was Jesus, the great intercessor. It says, "For He bore our sin, and He made intercession for the transgressors." That's a big word for sinners. For me, Jesus stood in that gap and interceded for me. How did He do that? The cross. In the gap between the Heavenly Father and men who did not know Him, men who were astray, to bring them to the Heavenly Father. Christmas. It's about intercession. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Easter is about intercession. The cross, the resurrection. Even on the cross, it says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The very Word of God, 1 Peter 3:18, I love this one. For Christ died for sins once and for all, righteous for the unrighteous, to bring them to God. He's the delivery boy. Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them." His job description: Jesus, the intercessor, the one who stands in the gap, the one who wants to deliver. He is a warrior. Now, again, He's just not wanting to deliver you so you can get in the nice comfy place. Oh, marry me, little me. I love this. This feels good. He delivers you so you can live for Him. But first you have to be in Him, so that you can intercede for others. He wants you to intervene. He wants you to intercede, to stand in the gap. Now, there's two ways to intercede. Way to go. I didn't even have to make the sound. Number one, prayer. To pray. To be on your knees. To be lifting your hands. To come before the Lord and say, "God, I want You to set that person free from their chains. Break them out of the cell and bring them into Your holy light, out of darkness, so that they can have the life and the freedom that I have." But also action. To be praying without action is very close to disobedience. Very close. See, I need a new volunteer. Uh-oh, you're all like, "No, don't make eye contact with me." Okay, Andrew, come on up here. His dad volunteered him. And then I got to volunteer him. Okay, Andrew, he's walking along and he falls down. And I'm like, "Brothers and sisters, let's pray for him. Come on, Join me in praying for him. Everyone, let's pray for him. And you're all like, what? Help him up. Right? Just do a little action to help him get up. Andrew, let me help you up. I hope you don't weigh too much. I can't maybe help you up. Oh my. Okay, I'm going to need some help. Adam, you're a pretty strong guy. I remember you playing basketball. And you know, come on up here. I need your help. Now, Adam, he's getting there, okay? Here we go. Grab him by the arm there, Adam. Oh, he's ticklish. Okay, you guys stay up here in the front row. Stay up here in the front row, because I'm going to need a little help. You won't have to walk so far next time. You can have a seat. We can't just pray. To pray for missions is great, is wonderful. Intercede. But if you have some finances that you can help provide, take some action. Someone is hurt or wounded and needs some help. Just don't pray. Take some action. Two types of intercession. Today we're focusing on prayer intercession. Three groups we need to intercede for. One, you need to intercede for yourself. A lot of this is like, no, I'm not going to intercede for myself. Jesus only wants me to intercede for others. No, this is why Jesus is interceding for himself before he goes to the cross. It only makes sense. We need help too. And he's looking to his heavenly Father. He calls him Abba Father. This is one of the three places in the New Testament he uses the word Abba Father. So he's pretty serious. And he says, Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, which he's talking about the whole working out of the cross, that pain, that suffering. He says, take this cup from me, not what I will, but what you will. May that be done. To pray for ourselves and intercede for ourselves. Lord, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. This past thing has caused me problems. This struggle has me in bondage. Set me free. And the Lord will come and do amazing things in your life. Not only do we intercede for ourselves, we intercede for those who are already saved. We intercede for brothers and sisters. This is what's happening in Acts 12. We have this description of Peter. Herod gets a hold of him. Not the Herod from Matthew and Jesus was born, but one of his sons. Herod gets a hold of him, puts him in prison. More than likely, Peter's going to die. And it says after that, before anything happens, it says that the church earnestly prayed for him. They're interceding for him. They didn't get their guns, their militia out, and they go in and try to break him out. They're praying for him. I'm sure they're taking food to him in prison, which would have been allowed. They're doing other types of action, but they're praying for him. And then amazing things happen in the middle of the night. His chains fall off. He's between prisoners. The prisoners remain asleep. It says he passes by them. It says he exits through an inner door. And then it says that he exits through an outer door. There's a whole sermon in that. I could preach on that. Can't today. They interceded for him, and things happened. Pray for those who are unsaved. It's not the healthy who need a doctor. Those who are sick. We need to pray for them. Intercede for them. Stand in the gap for them. Three areas. Now, when we pray for people, some are going to be a little bit more difficult to pray with for. That's just a fact. Okay? Damien, come on up here. Okay? And what happens is very much just in the... You can just have a seat for now. I'll get this all sorted out. Is that in the same way other people are more difficult to pray for... what's your name? Can you help me out real quick? A lot of times when a person is down, come on, he falls down, and then, here, let me help you up, brother. Now, he's pretty easy to help up. He's a smaller guy. But we get Adam, a little bit bigger guy, and he falls down. And then I'm like, oh my, this guy's a little bit of weight. Guess what? It'd be good to get some other intercessors, right? Damien, can you help me with this guy? Okay. Hey, can you help me out, man? We need to be praying for this guy and helping him up. Grab his back there. Okay, he's up. Thank you, brothers. You can all have a seat. Let's give him a hand. That we need to work together. A lot of times we just do it alone, right? Intercession. And sometimes it's going to be different ways. Some people are going to take more prayer. Some are going to be easy. Boom, set free. Boom, help, heal. They're up. Others are more in bondage and stuff. And we need more intercessory prayer and help. How or in what areas do we pray for people? One, that people are saved. We want to be interceding for them that they be saved. This is where Jesus is at. His main goal is to get people from the land of darkness into the land of light, the land of slavery into the land of freedom. We need to be praying that people are saved. Next, strongholds broken. Things that keep people in bondage, Satan's worked out a great scheme. The world, our own sin, keep people in bondage. We need to be praying that strongholds be broken. That's what we did last week. Third, the people are healed. Not only can they be set free, you know, tons of people get out of prison, but guess where they end back up? Back in prison. You know why? Because when they got out, they never got healed. Never got true truth. Never got their thinking system, their heart, changed around. They end up right back in there. Third, that Jesus is Lord. This is key. If a person does not have Jesus Christ as their Lord, they will go right back to what they were engaged in. Something else must drive their car. Something else must be the captain of their ship. And the wind will blow, but they need to know how to turn those sails to head them in the right direction. We need to be interceding for people in these areas and in these ways. Now, a lot of you are like, man, I'm not into the whole prayer thing. God is real. Prayer is real. And at least you can do is intercede for a brother and sister 1 minute a day to mention their name to the Lord. To use an action and say, Lord, I want to see them from here to this place by next year. To say, Lord, I want to see things broken in their life. Chains off that they could have life. At the same time, one of the easiest and best ways to intercede for a person is welcoming them. Now a lot of you are like, hey, I can handle that, I can do that, that's good stuff. To welcome them. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what God doing. I want to welcome you to know me. He is reaching out a hand, saying, let me pull you up out of that pit. Jesus is saying, I want you to be welcome and know something greater and more than yourself. And these next 2 months, I'd really like us to begin to focus on welcoming. Maybe you know one person that you just don't know how to get in contact with. Welcome them to your home. That's where it starts. Welcome them out to tea. Some type of personal interaction with them. If you want other friends to be there, welcome them to play Settlers. Welcome them to play video games. Welcome them not to do bad stuff, but whatever is decent and good for the Lord. Welcome them. As easy as that. Next, you can welcome them here. In my preaching, I might scare them. Hey, sorry about that. But at least they'll know that I'm true and passionate for the Lord. Welcome them to meet your other friends. Welcome them to know your Lord and Jesus. This is a great way to intercede. Now I need to give a little warning with the weighing of time here. clicks, destroy, intercession. Clicks aren't all bad. Clicks are okay. Because you know someone, you have a deep relationship, and you trust them, you can intercede with them. But at the same time, it can destroy actually reaching out and welcoming them. A lot of you here on Sunday, you sit with certain groups. Pastor's going to challenge you to step out of those groups, at least for 2 minutes. Walk around somewhere. Say hi to someone. We're so glad you're here today. And then you can go back to the safety of your little group. That's okay. At least you made your try. The people that you hang out with, is there one person you could add to that group? And that your group wouldn't just stand there and look at them and go, What are you doing in our group? I can't believe somebody else is in my group. That everyone would say, hey, what's up? What things you like? Where are you going? Where you go to school? How's mom and dad's relationship? Tons of things that everybody can gather around. They're like, hey, I feel welcome. Now again, we talked about this before. Does anybody remember? Okay, no. To welcome. Welcoming is not standing there when people come in a room and gazing at them from across the room. Man, who are they? I don't know, but I'm scared. Don't make eye contact. Or welcoming is not when somebody else comes in the room and you're in a deep discussion with someone else to ignore them. There's a newcomer, but I'm in a deep discussion. Welcoming is approaching the person, stretching out a hand and saying, hi, how you doing? Great to have you. I'm really scared. I don't know much more to say than that, but I at least made it that far. Praise the Lord. And that person's like, hey, that's cool. That's cool. I was a little scared too. But you know what? We just met somehow. To intercede. To welcome. To move out. We need to be about that. We're going to do power intercession right now because of time. And this is the way the world works, is time flies fast. I'm almost 40. I'm half gone. Where those 40 years went, I can think of some, but they're almost gone. I can't wait and go, Lord, Heavenly Father, I gotta go to school. You gotta pray hard and fast, earnestly and passionately and quickly. Let's stand up. I'd like everyone to pray. I'd like us to intercede. I'd like to see yourself stand in the gap. I'd like to see you bringing your friends. Right now, I want you to open your mouth and pray out loud for your friends. Maybe they're in a difficult circumstance. Maybe they don't know Jesus. Maybe they're moving. I don't know. Let's go ahead and pray for our friends. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come and that you would come and save, especially Christine, God, that she would come to know you. God, that she would be set free. God, her view and understanding is a little different. So God, I pray that you would bring her, that you would love her daughter if she gets ready to get married. God, that she would take that as a commitment. She would stand in the gap for you. God, that she would know you. God, I pray that you would come and deliver her into your arms, that you would deliver her before you, God, that you would set her free, and that she could come to know you and love you. Oh God, for a brother in this church, God, that his eyes would be open, that he cannot live without you any longer. God, that he would just come to love you. For a woman who's hurt so far, God, that you would care for her and love her, that you would encourage her. And now let's go ahead and pray. I want us to, it felt like the Lord was saying that we need to pray for our mothers and fathers, for our relationship for them, and even for their marriage. Let's pray for them. Let's speak out loud. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come and that you would just really come upon the marriages. God, that you would solidify those, that you would encourage marriages. God, that you would help husbands spend time with their wives and wives with their husbands. God, that none pride would be there, that all barriers would be broken down. God, that you would give life to them. And Father God, the relationships with their children, God, that they would put you first. God, not running after a job. last of all, I feel like we should pray for many people we know that are serving overseas. Mark Peter, let's pray for Michelle, who's over in China. Let's go ahead and pray for Damien Grace, who are here and going to head out to Kazakhstan. Let's pray for Debbie Wong, who's no longer here but is headed to Taiwan, and for whoever else you can know that is really on the front lines of battle. Father God, we just lift up to you these missionaries. Father God, we really want to ask you that you would empower them in word and speech. God, that you would give them a heart for your people. God, that you would fill them with more of your passion. That you would be the Lord of their lives, physically, emotionally, sexually, spiritually, and economically. God, when they are attacked, God, help them to respond with faith in you. God, let them fight the spiritual battle each and every day, and that they may exalt you and praise you with all of their heart. Father God, today we just come before you, and we want to be a people who stands in the gap. God, that you would really give us a heart to intercede. If that's a minute or two, that we would cry out a friend's name or a situation. And we ask that you, Jesus, the creator of the universe, who stands and waits for us, we ask that you would come and meet with this person, that you would work in their lives, that your spirit would empower them to live for you, that you would save them and set them free. Oh, Jesus, let's be a people who welcomes, God, who reaches out, who takes that extra step. It's going to be some work. It's going to be some energy and some passion, Lord. But give us a heart for you, God, and what you want to do. Oh, Father God, I thank you for the fathers here today, God, and I ask that you would help them to continue to stand in the gap for their sons and daughters, for their marriage, for their church, God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.